and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. What? Huh? The celebrity hotline today has, I believe it's already, it may pre-explode. On the celebrity hotline today, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
That's right.
Our buddy, our pal, our hero, to talk about her recent battle with breast cancer and her new legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Filmmaker Robert Greenwald.
Yes, director of Xanadu.
And outfoxed, more
yes.
importantly, documentary yeah. filmmaker about his recent trip to Afghanistan.
I wouldn't talk about the other one.
This is like, today's show is like a dream come true for me. Actress Sharon Glass on the Celebrity Hotline to discuss a Cagney and Lacey reunion right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yesterday, we started a craze because Jimmy Fallon's trying to reunite the cast of Saved by the Bell.
That's right.
So we were trying to... many, many dreams died yesterday.
Can 10 speed of Brown Shoe be far behind?
When we discovered the courtship of Eddie's father.
Two-thirds of them are dead.
Yes.
So...
most of our favorite shows, everyone is muerta. So a lot of dreams died. However, Sharon Glass, a big fan of the show, as is her husband. And so, I'm just saying,
and
there is the possibility of a cat... at least there's only two of them.
We're working on getting Tyne Daly.
Okay.
Working on it.
So, there you go. A half a dream today on the Stephanie Miller Show. And also, General Wesley Clark on the Celebrity
Wow.
Hall. What the? Huh? You know it's a good day in booking, Jim, when associate producer Rebecca Baker came in this morning and said, oh, thank God the White House didn't call me back.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We don't have room for you. President? No. There's no room today. Listen, we got a Cagney and Lacey reunion cooking,
yeah.
Mr. President. Not this morning. All right.
I think the president has a cold. Because he was talking...
really?
Yes, he was doing...
Does he sound like an 80s DJ?
He sounds like...
Blooded, everybody.
He sounds like you did when you recorded your Pro Flower spots yeah. before the vacation. Because he was
Don't
doing...
Don't forget to tell somebody in the box.
Yes, his news conference with Gordon Brown this morning. He sounded a little stuffy.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can we get Sudafed? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
All right. Oh, dear God. Nick in Rochester writes a warning, Steph. Lawn jarts are back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I thought they outlawed them.
Oh, my God.
Well, because as you know, Mama embedded a jart in her head as a child. Why? Mama not very bright. I forgot the part about letting go, and so I just held on to it, and it ended up...
How do you do that?
Hello? Because I...
So you have a hole in your head because of that?
I clearly fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. Okay, lawn darts are back. Deadlier than ever is the article. Lawn darts were a game from a simpler, more naive time. Sure, they could embed themselves in your little sister's head. That's me.
Yeah.
Just as easily as a lawn. But they were fun. Now they're back. There is a website, unfortunately, named Jarts in Your Heart. Website?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which sells the banned items. They are banned.
Yes.
But thanks to a little bit of legal gymnastics, they are now available at Jarts in Your Heart. They transform so easily from an innocent backyard game into a deadly weapon, depending on who's holding them.
Yes.
Jarts in Your Heart has to sell the plastic fins and the metal tips separately. See how they got around the whole legal thing.
I'm sure that will be taken care of by legislators post-haste.
The legal disclaimer on the website says these jarts are not toys. They should be kept out of the reach of children. Because it was a kid's game.
Yeah.
Most of the games in the 70s were designed to kill us. I think that was actually the point, and then fun would just be kind of a little adjunct.
I think we spent an entire summer on that topic once
yeah.
before.
Listen, once we get on something.
Yeah.
They should be treated as you would a bow and arrow. These have and will puncture a person. Yeah, they have.
Stephanie Miller.
For instance.
Which is what makes them so much fun.
That's what's fun.
For the whole family, which will be considerably smaller once you're done.
Is this legalese? It actually says on the website, if you have the IQ of a monkey, please don't buy lawn darts. I will not sell to anybody under 18. I do not have any sets left, so when they're gone, they're gone. Jarts in Your Heart will not be held liable for any death or injury caused by these jarts. By purchasing Jarts in Your Heart, you agree to these terms. Again, I cannot stress enough, if you're an idiot, just don't buy jarts. Stick to playing horseshoes, bag-o, or ladder ball.
Or toss across.
Jarts in Your Heart. All right. Hey, speaking of nostalgia,
Uh-oh.
Guess what? Don't worry, buy happy. Cheerful stuff is selling well.
Hooray!
Happy
Yay.
Things.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
You know what? This story just made me happy. It's from USA Today. It says the economy's in the tank. Consumers have no spare cash. The financial outlook is bleak. So guess what the savviest customer product makers are rolling out these days? Happy stuff.
Yay!
That's right, products that make folks smile. Nowhere is the smile factor wider than at Frito-Lay's Cheetos division, which this week, wait for it, will introduce a product that they bet will help a nation of recession-obsessed consumers lighten up and open their wallets. Cheetos the size of ping pong balls.
I'm there. I am so totally there.
I want a ping pong Cheeto.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that sounds so good.
Clearly, I embedded a jart in my head.
You saw this hunk of metal.
This makes me so happy. I may get these today if I can.
Now, if they were bacon wrapped, that would be something.
Yes. People are looking for anything to break the negativity, said the marketing guru for Frito-Lay. They at one point, and I think this was unwise, they considered, but junked the idea of Cheetos the size of tennis balls. Yay!
Like the size of an apple?
I guess so.
Oh, my God.
Kind of lodged in your esophagus.
Yeah.
Dr. Play, he's a consultant.
Oh.
He consults companies on how to get employees to play.
You need a jart to get it out of your throat.
That's the only way you get it out, jamming a jart down your throat. When we're stressed, we revert back to the things that comforted us as kids. We want to play our way through stress. Frito-Lay hired cultural anthropologists who watch stress workers play with those stress balls at their desks.
Yes.
Yes. So why not giant Cheetos? It's a ball you can eat, said the consultant.
Unfortunate choice of words.
Well, that's part of the fun, she says, is deciding whether to eat the giant Cheeto in a few bites or pop the whole thing in your mouth. It's like the Oreo dilemma, to eat the whole thing or you can open it and, you know what I mean, the whole...
Whatever.
Okay, what else is on the... Pancake puppies. Yay!
Pancake puppies?
Denny's introduced the $1.99 donut whole-size pancake appetizer served in Sunday cups. Pancake puppies. It's a pancake and a puppy.
Wow.
Oreo, speaking of Oreos, yeah. Oreo Fun Sticks. Check this out. Kraft next month will roll out straw-shaped Oreos that can be used to drink milk. You drink the milk and then you eat it. Yay!
Actually, Kellogg's has had Fruit Loop straws like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Bubble calendar. A 4-foot-tall wall calendar has bubble wrap-like bubbles to pop for each day of the year.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that idea.
Yeah, but you'll pop it in about a day and a half. I know. The entire calendar.
Oh, darn it. I thought it was a month later. I went on a tear. April rolls around so fast. How's about this? Because Mama loves her wine, as you know.
Yes.
A mousetrap cheese board. The O Snap cheese board and cutter, available next month at $17.50, is designed to look like a mousetrap. Okay.
My cheese never makes it to the board. It always, refrigerator, mouth.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. You're a lover of the, you praise Jesus.
I praise Jesus
daily.
Every day.
All right. Okay. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Today's Broken, our top story. Time magazine reporting, do we love our dogs more than people?
Computer says, yeah.
Oh, boy, howdy.
Oh, boy.
I speak for, well...
Stephanie Miller.
Americans have fallen in love with their dogs. Can I have some love music, please? Americans have fallen in love with their dogs. We have dog walkers, dog groomers, dog parks, dog...
You have all of those.
Dog parks and dog-friendly hotels. We buy organic dog food, put our pets on puppy Prozac, and dress them up in costumes for Halloween. Oh, yeah. Where's that website? It's that email that goes around, why dogs kill people. It's all the dogs in their ridiculous costumes.
It's that dachshund dressed in that hot dog costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. Funny.
I don't think I'd want to put a pit bull in a dirndl.
Do not try this at home. Rottweilers will not wear lederhosen. Trust me on this. Okay, in the last 15 years, the amount of money spent on pets in the U.S. jumped from $17 billion to $43 billion. Michael Schaefer talks to Time about his new book, One Nation Under Dog, and what he has discovered about our sudden need to treat our pets like children. The most popular dog names, for instance, are Jake and Chloe and Bella. They're very similar to the names in his daughter's
Chloe?
Preschool. They're not the kind of names you'd find in dog cartoons. There's no Spots or Fidos anymore. That's true. My friend's dogs were Bill and then Bob.
I've never known a dog named Fido.
I think my next dog will be like Ashley. Just saying. People are they're becoming much more like her.
What
children.
Is wrong with you?
I don't know. Hey, you Max. You what's wrong. Who's mommy's dog? Max.
Max. Max. Max. Max.
Okay. All right. Jim, we have a... Who do we have?
A Popeil company spokesman.
Yes, that's right, on this whole story, thank you.
Has this ever happened to you? You've had pets, adorable companions who filled your life with joy past all understanding, yet something was missing and you couldn't put your finger on it. And then it hit you. There's only so close you can get, but without the experience of really, truly bringing your faithful four-legged son or daughter into the world, you're not really their parent. Well, never mind all that. Now, we here at Popeil Research Facility have come up with the answer to your fulfillment. Introducing the new Popeil implantable puppies. That's right. You can be your own surrogate and give birth to your very own fur pet.
Or as we like
to reframe them, utero canines. Since the average human uterus can accommodate 75 of the little tykes, the Popeil implantable puppy present the perfect startup business. Simply surrogate for mass breeder facilities or other infertile puppy moms, and you could be turning a tidy profit with each and every litter. So don't deny yourself the ultimate in pet fulfillment. Popeil's implantable puppies. Don't delay. Pop one in today.
Can I have Cheeto balls while I do that?
And in a related story.
Oh, dear. This one perhaps not for the children. However, a woman had sex with a pine cone and needed surgery to remove it.
Oh! Ow! 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 Oh.
Piece by piece. Yeah.
I bet you no one ever questioned her freshness again. It's like a air freshener.
Wow. That gives a whole new meaning to pine nuts.
What? What'd I say?
A Serbian woman. Apparently this happens fairly regularly in Serbia. A Serbian woman is recovering from a painful operation after doctors removed a large pine cone from her
area.
Her area, uh-huh. Mirjana Garbrovic. Underwent the two-hour operation after it was a large pine cone. After surgeons said it appeared the woman tried to have sex with the seed pod.
Oh.
Doctor said the woman, Dr. Fleckenfergen, said the woman...
I'm guessing there was Slivovitz involved.
Mm-hmm. Said the woman whose age was not released was lonely, and unfortunately the pine cone got stuck when she tried to remove it. We have
the doctor.
Uh-huh. Of course we do.
Dobar dan. I am Dr. Slobodan Milja Pulodlansky Vaminets Brava Boletislava Yemadfantovic. You can call me Dan. I run successful Huha clinic in Belgrade. Trust me, it's not worst case I've seen. Mrs. Gavaritz, like so many Serbian women who lost husbands in war, was feeling lonely and put big pine cone in her vagine. Now her labia are hanging down like sleeves of wizard, but she is otherwise fine. Another woman I treated put a whole 15-meter pine tree up her baby chimney.
Oh.
It took a month to get out all the sap. Now when she comes for checkup, whole office smells like Christmas. We sing carols and pass out gingerbread cookies. Another patient tried getting frisky with entire Banyetska forest, which is 2 kilometers long and 300 meters wide.
Oh.
Ouch! And what kind of trees are in Banyetska forest? Box elder! I am kidding you not! And what is native bird? Great spotted woodpecker! He's no joke! I am thinking perhaps to prevent further hoo-ha mishaps, I will make house calls to lonely women and introduce my great spotted woodpecker to their Eastern European beaver. Which, by the way, is bigger than American beaver and has shorter, lighter underfur. In Belarus, beavers tend to be light chestnut rust. In Russia, more blackish brown. Biggest beaver on record weighed almost 38 kilograms. He is big beaver. What? What is so funny? He is science.
Oh, no.
I'm a doctor. No. Trust me.
No.
Dovidenia.
Oh, dear. That's all for stand-up news.
European beaver facts.
Stand-up news brought to you today by Pine-Sol Women's Feminine Hygiene Products.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. If you'd...
You want that again?
You could go to the Jim Ward website.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True.
Yeah, that's on the...
Banner ad. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Miller website.
Yeah, not for the kids. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. 20 minutes after the hour. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. We'll just reset. We'll hit the reset button.
You know, we have Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up.
Yes. It's a serious show. Stop being flippant.
This,
former NATO allied commander
General
coming
Wesley
up
Clark.
On the show.
Who knows about Yugoslavia? Maybe
okay.
He knows
see,
about the European beaver.
Okay, let's not bring that up, okay? Okay. This, I fear for the remainder of this show. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rob in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hey, Rob.
Stephanie, I love you when you're on the TV show. I saw it all the time.
The disastrous Stephanie Miller late night show?
Disastrous. Oh, no.
You were the
quite
one.
The opposite.
Thank you.
I used to tell my wife, look, it's on. And then one day it was like, it's not on no more.
Oh, no. That was a bad day for you. All right.
The history of TV.
All right. Yes, thank you, Rob. Thank you for your substandard taste in broadcasting. I appreciate it.
I'm from America.
All right, babe, go ahead.
Stephanie, I need vocabulary help. Maybe you and the moops can help me there.
Okay.
Complicit, duplicit, what's the administration now? If Spain is going to indict our Bush boy torturers before we do.
That's true.
Yeah.
Have you seen what Spain is trying to do?
What are they doing?
They're trying to haul everybody in the Bush administration before their courts for war crimes.
Yay! Party over here, party over there, Rob. Yeah,
O'Reilly goes off on that every night.
Oh, that's why.
I'm not going to Spain.
Why he's always threatening to boycott Spain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you see how that erased France off the map, practically, the Bill O'Reilly boycott.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In which I think their wine and cheese and all whatever they sell stuff, actually sales went up during the Bill O'Reilly quote-unquote boycott.
French cheese is good.
Mm-hmm. Audrey and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Serbia. Hi, Audrey.
Hey. Yeah, I'm half Serbian on my mom's side, and when we were growing up, she gave me the talk and referred to her area as her vagine, so I just wanted to let you guys know.
Oh, so that is the technical Serbian term for popo.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Butt.
All right. Thank you, Audrey. See, Jim Ward, eerily accurate, even when he's just being pervy.
I can't believe I'm associated with this.
What? Well, you are.
Oh, God.
Speaking
of, you're the one who sends me the stories.
Speaking of Bill O'Reilly, has he heard the news out of Minnesota today? A 3-judge panel in Minnesota delivered a severe blow to Norm Coleman's attempt to return to the Senate. Oh, dear. The panel ruled that less than 400 absentee ballots should be opened and counted. Coleman said there would be an appeal to the full Minnesota Supreme Court. Oh, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Okay, Norm. Thank you. Somebody wrote a great piece.
Nice to see you. What are you going to do?
No, it would be Bill O'Reilly reacting to Senator Al Franken was what I was looking for there. Anyway, my point is, somebody wrote a great piece.
Well, thing sucks.
Exactly. Wrote a great piece on Media Matters about how come there's been no Norm Coleman sore loser theme in the media.
Yeah, really.
When, they did it the second Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and who won, by the way.
Yeah,
who put
there's that.
Yeah.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
April Fool's! Thanks for the laugh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, if we know one thing, we know that...
there's no crying in baseball!
However, there is sometimes crying in Congress, and we don't mean the bad John Boehner kind. We mean the really good kind. If only there was somebody that... Yes, Christopher!
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida.
Our personal hero. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Debbie.
Thank you so much for coming back on with us.
You're welcome. You just cracked me up.
I have to tell you, I cried when I watched the press conference. And I have to say, and I know you probably have gotten this from a lot of people, I feel so bad about the fight we got into during the primary. I am so sorry.
I've gotten that a lot, but that is okay. So I'm tougher than that, and I think I gave it to you pretty good. So.
Yeah. I told you, I've never been more relieved when we were on the same side. I'm like, oh, thank God this primary's over. I cannot debate Debbie Wasserman Schultz on Larry King. I'm getting my ass kicked here.
You held your own. Not to worry.
Yeah, thank you, Congresswoman. Well, I mean, in case people haven't heard, you have been battling breast cancer, but nobody knew this. This was going on all through the primary as you campaigned for Hillary and then for the president. And, you know, I honestly, I thought, like, the press conference, first of all, was so... It serves such a good purpose because you want to talk about early warning. You know, that a lot of times, you know, that 40 is sort of the age for mammograms, but but we should start younger, right?
Well, it's not that we should start younger with mammograms. We should start younger with self-awareness and with education, because early detection is absolutely the key. I mean, I caught the tumor in my breast through a routine self-exam in the shower. You know, it is much less likely that a woman under 40 will get breast cancer, but it is more deadly when we do, and because the cancer is more aggressive, and because so often, you know, young women, they're so fixated on 40. They think they're invincible. They'll ignore, you know, something that that they have going on with their breast, or a doctor will dismiss them and say, "Nah, it's probably nothing. Come back in a couple months." That is the difference between life and death. When early detection is absolutely the key.
And what tell us about the legislation you were announcing.
The legislation is called the Early Act, the Education and Awareness Requires Learning Young Act, and what it would do is it would create a national education and awareness campaign. Coordinated by the Centers for Disease Control, using evidence-based information that would be disseminated to young women under 40 in places that they are likely to get it. Because, you know, when you're communicating with women older than 40, it's a lot different way than when you're communicating with women younger than 40. So through social media, through, you know, online communication, but also communicate with physicians, Stephanie, because too often physicians will have a young woman come to their office with a problem, you know, related to her breast, and they tell them, you know, it's probably nothing. Go home. Come back in a month.
Right.
And because breast cancer is more aggressive in a young woman, and it's detected much later, and the survival rate for young women is much lower than for older women.
Mm-hmm.
So I raise awareness among doctors as well.
I have to tell you how this affected me personally, and why I think it's so important. I'm like 1,000 years old, so I wouldn't be covered under that legislation. But I realized, you know, when I read your story and saw the press conference, that I you know how you get busy, and I'm like probably 2 years overdue for a mammogram. I think I skipped it last year, and I called and made an appointment. And I think that's exactly, you know.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, and I can't tell you in the last 10 days how many women have told me that they scheduled a mammogram, or they started, young women who've started doing self-exam, because, I mean, early detection is absolutely the key. And, you know, even though whether you're older than 40 or younger than 40, this is a disease that is the number one killer of women in this country. It can be caught, and you can survive. You're very likely to survive if you catch it early, but you've got to see your doctor. You've got to get mammograms if you're older than 40. You need to start doing self-exam from the time you begin to develop breasts, and you've got to communicate with your doctor. The other thing that the bill will do, Stephanie, is it will create a grant program for organizations that help young women who are diagnosed with breast cancer cope with the unique challenges that we face. Because, you know, I was married and I've had my children, but so many young women that are diagnosed, you know, they're single. If they go through chemo and radiation, their fertility is compromised. So there are organizations out there that will help women deal with fertility preservation, deal with how they address their body image after a mastectomy, deal with dating, and, you know, young women have many more years in front of them being breast cancer survivors,
right.
And there's a lot of different challenges.
Congresswoman Schultz, you have twins. What? How old are they?
Yeah. The twins are 9, and my little one's 5.
Oh, dear God, and you're in Congress. All right. And you were dealing with all this, and you didn't tell your kids, right?
That's why I didn't. That's why I kept the procedures and everything last year private, because cancer is a very scary thing, and I didn't want my kids to have the kind of angst that they would have had while I was going through it. You know, I travel back and forth. I knew that if I got through the procedures last year, that I would be okay, mm-hmm. and I wanted to come out the other side, then be able to share it with them and really be able to look them in the eye and tell them that their mommy was going to be okay.
You are a brave lady. I got to tell you, why did you decide? I know that I've read somewhere you were saying you just didn't want to be defined by that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I didn't want, when I was debating Stephanie Miller on Larry King, for underneath my name.
You don't want me to go easy on you.
That's right. It was sympathy. Yeah. So I didn't want it, you know, to have a tagline be Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's currently battling breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be defined as, you know, my children's mom, a congresswoman, you know, a fighter on behalf of moving this country in a new direction. And so I knew I could get through last year balancing all the things that I needed to. And every woman needs to, the bottom line, though, is every woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer needs to be able to make their own decision on how to deal with it. And this is how I was able to deal with it. It doesn't mean that everybody can, but I came out with it and wanted to make my story public so that I could help raise awareness and mm-hmm. make sure that more women will go in and get either a mammogram if they're older than 40 or begin self-exam and communicate with their doctor and be familiar with their own bodies.
Right.
It's so critical.
Well, you know,
you know your own body.
You know, Congresswoman, you're obviously a very strong, independent woman. I know you were, you know, you were saying in the interview you don't like to ask for help, and you know, you went through a period where you couldn't even carry your own stuff. I mean, even your staff didn't know what was going on.
My staff that needed to know, knew. I told just enough staff that could sort of help me get through it after I'd had surgery. There were times I couldn't carry a folder. I wasn't supposed to carry anything heavier than 10 pounds for about 6 weeks after each surgery. I couldn't pick my little one up. It was a tough year, but I'm fortunate. I'm physically resilient, and
I'm just one of a thousand calls. It's probably like everyone you know is in a 12-step program and is calling to make amends for...
No, you know what? That's
anything
exactly
that...
why I didn't want people to know.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure that people could look at me as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, period.
Be honest, have any Republicans apologized for anything? Seriously.
Oh, I don't mind if they feel guilty.
Has that awful John Boehner apologized for anything?
No. In fact, I just asked John Boehner to co-sponsor the early act, and I'm waiting for an answer. So hopefully he'll say yes.
Yeah.
Well, he better, or we'll mock him even more mercilessly than we do now. Because he tends
to... 252 co-sponsors now.
Oh, good for you. Because he tends to cry not a lot, but over stupid things. You know, not anything important. I don't know if you've seen him on the House floor.
Yeah, we're also waiting to see what his reaction is to the fact that that Scott Murphy in the 20th Congressional District in New York, the Kirsten Gillibrand seat, beat Tedisco yesterday. There's going to be a recount, but we came out on top last night, and I think he's probably going to be crying in his coffee this morning.
That's right.
we always look forward to a good man blubber on the House floor.
Right.
Were you there? Did we have him throwing the bill down? Were you there when he threw the stimulus bill down? Because that was a little hissy fit, wasn't it? I know you have like toddlers, but do you remember this?
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
Did you give him a timeout?
You know, I was all ready to give him a timeout. I brought a pacifier to the floor, but I just missed him.
Congresswoman, we so appreciate you taking time for us, and thank you so much. You were just an inspiration, and you were before this. So you were, we talk of you fondly often, and what a kick-ass job you do on TV and in Congress.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and I appreciate you having me come on and help get the word out about early detection.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for putting a face on that and the legislation and all that. Thank you so much, Congresswoman.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
You too. There
Yay!
She goes. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida. All right, 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Kevin in Minneapolis here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, Kev. Go ahead.
All right. Well, so I was listening to the congresswoman, and it kind of really hit home because my mom had breast cancer when I was in high school, and my girlfriend.
You know, Kevin, I was just going to say to her, I don't think, honestly, I know anybody that hasn't lost somebody to breast cancer. So, yeah, it is a really important topic. But go ahead.
Well, so my girlfriend, though, her family is very prone to breast cancer. Like, every woman in her family practically has had it. And some of them have had it very young. And, you know, I've been asking her to get a mammogram, but, you know, I haven't pushed it very much. And I was wondering if you guys thought maybe I should push it more.
I think you need to get her to go to StephanieMiller.com today and listen to the Congresswoman Schultz interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 It will be posted up there shortly after the show ends.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good.
Keep pushing her. You're a good boyfriend.
Well, thank you. All right. By the way, I love your show. You guys are the best show on the radio.
Aw, thank you, Kevin. You obviously have exquisite taste in both broads and broadcasting. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, then. Bye-bye. Okay. All right.
Was
Chris,
called?
Chris before the break is like, I don't know. Is that a question for a doctor? I'm like, if Dr. Laura can pretend to be a doctor, so can I.
Yeah.
The hell is her degree in biology or something? See, I just gave good advice right there.
Kinesiology or kinesol or something.
And did you see what I did there? I gave good advice and I got in a plug for StephanieMiller.com. Okay, let's.
It's only the best destination on the internet.
All right, let's. Keith and. Oh, that's so self serving. Let's talk about more about me. Okay. All right, Keith in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the auto bailouts. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, Steph. It's Keith here.
Good morning, sir.
I normally listen to you on the StephCast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Why, how nice of you to bring that up.
So I always get these bright ideas, and then I feel like I have to call in later. But when you were talking about the big vinyl seats and your mom's hand coming across as a safety belt.
Yes, instead of safety belts, your mom's hand.
I totally relate because, I'm about the same age as you are.
Uh-huh. 65? Shut up.
What? Yeah, that's right. So anyway. But, I just want to say, our family has always believed in American cars, and I've always believed in American cars. And, our company that I work for, we
My dad bought... had a gold Cadillac at one point in the 70s.
Oof. But, our company
he was pimping
bought...
his ride back then. Yes, go ahead.
Our company just bought a whole bunch of these brand new Chevy Malibus, and they're really wonderful vehicles. And there's two things I wanted to tell you. That, to get our manufacturing in this country, we have to separate healthcare from industry to make us competitive around the world.
Yeah.
And I remember this bumper sticker back in the
70s. Yeah, our healthcare system is insane. You know what I mean? Like, whose idea that this should ever be for profit?
And if you have pre-existing conditions, you're a slave to your job for your health insurance.
That seems like that's the original pursuit of life, liberty, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Life would be the first thing. That you're entitled to.
Okay, what would blah blah entail?
I'm just saying, in America, the house is burning. They don't tell you, to put it out yourself. I'm just saying we should...
They do make you pay for it, though.
Whatever.
Did you know you get a bill after the firemen come?
Really?
Yeah, you do.
Mm. Well, that sucks. But at least they come. They don't ask you if you have insurance or what's going on.
Well, that's true.
You grab a hose is what you do. All right. Speaking of health, Governor Kathleen Sebelius heard the hearings were yesterday.
Yep.
She pledged swift action on the burgeoning U.S. healthcare crisis during her confirmation hearing, arguing action is not a choice. It's a necessity. We face a health system that burdens families, businesses, and government budgets with skyrocketing costs. Rising health costs represent the greatest threat to our long-term economic stability. We can't fix the economy of America without fixing the healthcare system, to which I say here. Ted Kennedy was...
He chaired the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hearings yesterday.
He chaired it, and he knows a little something recently about health care.
Over the past 10 months, I've seen our health care system up close. I've benefited from the best of medicine. But we have too many uninsured Americans.
The important thing, of course, is that Kathleen Sebelius made some errors on her tax forms. And,
That was breaking news on Sean Hannity last
night. I'm guessing it was the whole Sean Hannity show. Oh, boy. And you know that blowhole from the Catholic League that I always debate on TV?
Oh, Donahue.
Yeah, Bill Donahue. Hugh something. He recently called Sebelius an enemy of the unborn. She's actually pro-life, if that's important to anybody. But the liberal group Catholics United has come to Sebelius' defense, saying the Kansas governor has taken several steps to lower the abortion rate in her state. The group also posted excerpts of a 2006 speech in which Sebelius said she opposed abortion. She said, my Catholic faith teaches me that all life is sacred, and personally I believe abortion is wrong. However, I disagree with the suggestion that criminalizing women and their doctors is an effective means of achieving the goal of reducing the number of abortions in our nation.
You know, Bill Donahue, the Catholic League,
yes,
is basically just him in his mom's basement on a computer.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Seriously.
I would not have guessed that from the amount of research he does before his television appearances.
Mom! You got that fact wrong! Now Stephanie Miller made me look stupid again!
I sort of, that kind of makes sense now that you say it. Okay.
Yeah. There is one person in the league. The Catholic League.
It's like
it's a league of one.
It's like the what do you call it? Church of Fred Phelps.
Oh yes.
Of the God Hates Fags.com. It's basically him and his crazy family that needs cream rinse. Okay.
Well, just the one daughter needs cream rinse.
Yes.
Desperately.
Yes. All right, Kathleen Sebelius. Just
Americans spend more on health care than on housing or food. General Motors spends more on health care than they do on steel. Action is not a choice. It's a necessity.
Senator John McCain at the Sebelius hearings yesterday.
You do not support a creation of a government-run health insurance plan?
Senator, I...
These are pretty straightforward questions, Governor, I would think.
If the question is, do I support a public option side-by-side with private insurers in a health insurance exchange, yes, I do.
Grumpy's just gotten grumpier and grumpier, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Okay. Senator Tom Coburn, oh boy, Republican of Oklahoma.
As a pro-life obstetrician, I feel I have a constitutional right to have those protections as I practice medicine.
No, you have the duty to protect the life of the person under your care. And so you have, if you feel you cannot perform such procedures, then you shouldn't be in medicine, Senator Coburn.
He's, can I just say, this is kind of a technical medical term. He's 10 kinds of crazy,
yes.
Can I just say? I forget. He's one of those guys, like, you can't remember which crazy thing, which crazy Republican said, but he said a bunch of them, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Coburn, I'll have to, you know what, I'll Google that and get back to you on that.
All right.
Richard and Ellen.
Back to ya.
I'll get that information back to ya.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to ya.
Richard in Alabama on Kathleen Sebelius. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Steph. You know, there's all these problems that we've had with the president's appointees and tax issues, and I'm not concerned with that as long as they can do their job. But what I think it points out is, you know, the conservatives always want to point out that, you know, the successful in America do all the work and they get penalized for it. With the tax code. But what we keep seeing is, I mean, these people, you know, they're not middle class workers like you or me. These are rich people. And what this shows is that rich people, they don't pay taxes, you know, whether it's legal or not. And this is why we need to institute a more progressive tax code and something that'll hold these upper people in the tax bracket accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pay their taxes.
Listen, I hear you. And I love the fact that you just assume that I couldn't possibly be that successful. I appreciate I appreciate that, Richard. Just kidding. All right.
It also shows that our tax code is way, way too complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It needs to be simplified drastically.
Yeah. I mean, because I think there's a scale of things that are indeed unintentional errors and things
absolutely
that are egregious. So anyway, let me...
I think the IRS could find errors in anybody's tax
returns. Can I give you the fun facts on why the pro-life people like Tom Coburn are screaming... Like little girls, because Governor Sebelius in Kansas, blah, 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 she vetoed legislation that would have tightened abortion regulations. In vetoing the measure, she wrote the bill was problematic because it included no exceptions for pregnancies that endanger a woman's life and allowed individuals to seek court orders preventing a woman from obtaining an abortion, even if the procedure was necessary to save her life.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's why she's a enemy of the unborn.
Whatever.
The lovely Bill Donahue said. All right. Real quick, Ethan in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy birthday to me, Stephanie. Good morning.
How old are you?
15.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday.
And this is the first anniversary that I called in, actually. Called in last year on April 1st.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. So this isn't a joke. You really are 15.
Yes.
Okay.
I despise having my birthday on April 1st.
All right.
All right. Oh, and Jim?
Yeah.
Can you sing happy birthday to me and Kim Jong-il, be your Kim Jong-il impression?
All right. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. What a show today.
Yes.
If you missed the interview with Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz about her recent battle with breast cancer, you must go to StephanieMiller.com after the show and listen to it. She has some great legislation out about early warning and all that. Also, last hour, we did, what was it, stand-up news that a woman got a pine cone stuck up her popo.
So, not popo. Mm-hmm. Popo's bottom.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, it's been quite
have you been confusing your cooter with your popo entire life?
You know, I could have used that information a lot earlier.
And don't talk about a fanny pack if you're in England.
Oh,
it means something quite different.
That explains a lot about that incident last weekend. Anyway, my point is the show has given me whiplash already today. And what else is coming up? Filmmaker Robert Greenwald.
The director of Xanadu.
He doesn't want to talk about that.
No?
I think he would rather talk about his recent trip to Afghanistan and his new documentary. Also, actress Sharon Gillis will be on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about having a Cagney and Lacey reunion right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Ha ha! Take that, Jimmy Fallon, and your little Saved by the Bell reunion or
Stephanie Miller.
Whatever.
I need to tell you a little story about that.
Oh.
When Rebecca was booking Sharon Gillis yesterday,
yes.
Sharon said, you do know that we've had 4 reunion movies.
Oh, I knew that.
Okay.
But it didn't happen unless it happened on
Stephanie Miller.
So it's not necessarily like breaking news that we'd get a Cagney and Lacey reunion. It's happened before.
Listen, we had so many dreams to hear yesterday. No Courtship of Eddie Father reunion.
Says no.
Every favorite show we had, everybody's dead. So listen, give me one last dream. Okay, and next hour, General Wesley Clark.
That's right.
On the Celebrity Hotline. Wow, wait, what a holy, what the, okay. In the meantime, if you know one thing about Mommy, you know that I believe that the children are the future and the flavor.
I believe
the
children are the future. Teach them well.
Okay. That's why it's time to do Bad Teacher Stack. How's about this one? Italian teacher talked bondage with 11-year-olds. Parents are pushing an Italian primary school to fire a teacher after she discussed genital piercing with 11-year-olds during a sex education lecture. The headmaster, which also sounds kind of dirty, said the teacher displayed serious naivete when she failed to realize that, quote, certain subjects and language can be used in a class of 15-year-olds, but not 11-year-olds. Yeah, you can talk about genital piercing with 15-year-olds, but 11.
Most of them have it.
Most of them will show you theirs.
Especially in Italy.
Huh? Yeah.
What? Parents said the teacher discussed subjects with the students, including bondage, sadomasochism, and genital piercings after a discussion of masturbation was taken off subject. Yeah, that got a little off track, apparently.
Yeah.
You know how that goes. The teacher, whose name wasn't given, said she was following guidelines for talking to students about sex, which she said required her to speak frankly to clear things up.
Frankly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Frankly.
All right, that's, wowee. Your 11-year-old comes home with that little story.
Mm.
Okay. Meanwhile, Land O'Lakes, Florida. There's an actual place called Land O'Lakes, Florida. Drunk teacher caught on video speaks out. Kylie Nelson watched a cell phone video of herself dancing in her 8th grade classroom. The 42-year-old teacher admits she was drunk and says she's humiliated by her actions. Basically, it was the alcohol thinking and not Ms. Nelson thinking, said Nelson. Too much alcohol makes you refer to yourself in the third person too much. I think that's another side effect that you should check into. Her blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit. She said, I heard that I was slurring my words, and I didn't realize that, and that's how powerful alcohol is, and I wish it never existed. How many of us have thought that? Alcohol just has never existed.
Did she start drinking at breakfast and just
apparently
had a hip flask?
A student who did not want to be identified said the school told all the students to erase their cell phone videos of the incident.
Yeah,
however,
sure that happened.
He kept hers. She said the teacher said she would keep saying, "I haven't had sex in 20 years. At least have sex with me."
Oh, that's inappropriate.
So Nelson has resigned her position from since the incident occurred, which I think is probably wise. She is, however, doing ads now.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people, and it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Oh, yay. Okay. That's,
I think she took that to heart.
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story. Oh, speaking of entertainment, what's more entertaining than the drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh? But Democratic strategists say Sarah Palin is the new Rush Limbaugh now. Is the Rush Limbaugh strategy giving way to the Sarah Palin strategy? Multiple Democratic strategists say the party plans to increasingly elevate Palin in the same manner it has employed Rush for weeks, using her high visibility, her social conservatism, and memories of her harsh attacks on Obama during the campaign to tar the GOP as partisan obstructionist and backward-looking. And also, a big dope.
Yeah.
Her name conjures up all kinds of reactions in people's minds, says James Carville. She's an uncomfortable figure for a lot of Republicans. They want to move beyond her. We like her. Luckily, she seems to present us with an opportunity every few days. Other than another strategist, you could say it's a turkey shoot. Yeah, well, how about the turkey and the wood chipper video when the guy was killing the turkey right behind her? She didn't even notice. Okay. We have Sarah Palin on this, I believe.
Yeah, the Dems are trying to make me run. Not falling for it. They're just going to mock me for my beauty pageant background so people won't take me seriously for my political views also, too, for the family values, since my family seems to value underage motherhood out of wedlock, which is nobody's business unless it happens to be inner-city Negress Democrat Socialist, in which case it illustrates the depravity of the liberal Democrat agenda and the reverse racism of legalized murder of fetuses, which should be issued passports and driver's licenses at the moment of conception, you betcha, unless they're Mexican anchor babies, in which case they should be thrown into the quite fun. Become sea monkeys also, too. Obama's a Muslim socialist Nazi terrorist. Of course I'm going to be the nominee in 2012. Who's going to stop me also, too? Suck on that, Eric Cantor. And Michael Steele, Joe the Plumber, taxes, liberal, commie, socialist. I'll get right back to ya. What is that, a moose? Oh, frankly. Oops, I just shot Newt Gingrich. Ooh, more votes for me, you betcha.
Oh, dear.
How could we argue with that? Logic.
Yeah. That's an unfortunate accident. And finally, Angelina Jolie told a young star of Slumdog Millionaire that she hopes to adopt an Indian child. To complete her United Colors of Benetton.
Whatever.
Collect the whole set.
I think she's shopping at the same place Madonna does.
Hey, international celebrities, are you depressingly behind the curve when it comes to adopting away from the hellish sinkholes of the third world? Have you waited too long to put in your bid for an unclaimed African child, only to find a Madonna's been there already and snapped up every free urchin on the continent? Do you despair of bringing a toddling token to your next photo op? Well, we at Child Max feel your pain. We have scoured the world for new opportunities for shallow people with too much money and absolutely no sense of propriety to indulge their craving for a little person of color to have around the house. And you can take advantage of our work to adorn your palatial estate with a little exotic two-legged accessory. Be the first on your own private island to adopt an orphan child of Shiva. Yes, now you can take up the rich man's burden right there in Kipling territory. By turning your attention from the dark continent to the subcontinent, you can easily take home your own future software engineer. But hurry, fashions change fast, and you might just be stuck raising a convenience store owner. We here at Child Max are looking out for you, and we'll always be one step ahead of the curve. When East Indian children go stale, we've got Peruvian tribal. When the South American thing goes stale, we've got Inuit toddlers for adoption. Yes, call Clicker. Come on into Child Max, because you shouldn't have to wait to pet your new third world worlder. Not available in stores. Same day delivery. Previous child removed at no extra cost. Your results may vary.
They have every flavor at Starbucks. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here always. Tell your friends. Oh dear. If you'd like more Jim Ward falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a banner ad for that right there on the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Okay. We always hope that many of our important guests coming up have not heard the previous bit. In which case...
Although...
The Celebrity Hotline will have tumbleweeds on it.
Sharon Gless says she's a big fan of the show.
Oh, good.
So oh, she might that be does not speak
until
well for her.
No.
Hmm. Yeah. Yikes. Okay. Michelle Obama went on the Oprah Winfrey Show to deny pregnancy rumors. They were speculating she had a baby bump. Are you kidding me? She has like a 0% body fat practically. Look at those arms. Look at the guns on her. She said to Oprah, I was like, baby bump, I, as hard as I work on my abs, here's the scoop, not pregnant and not planning on it.
Okay.
Okay, then. There's only, you know, so many swings on the new swing set, for God's sakes. When are we getting a puppy? I'm so cranky about that puppy.
Yeah, the puppy's going to just dig through the new garden anyway.
The new organic garden.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Puppy's dug up the arugula again.
That Michelle Obama built with child labor.
Stop it.
Well, she used local school children to build the...
Oh, technically. Okay. Speaking of Oprah, what is going on at that school of hers in South Africa? Yikes. Her all-girls boarding school has been hit by a second sex scandal since opening. You might want to hit the squeezy music, although it's very inappropriate. Seven students were suspended last week for sexually harassing their schoolmates. Jim, it's like an African schoolgirl's gone wild for some reason over there. One 15-year-old preyed upon another student and urged her victims to lie to investigators about what happened.
Wait a minute, is this girl-on-girl action?
Yes, the partaking of inappropriate behaviors is what they're calling it. It's, oh, dear. All right. I don't know what's happening there. All right, the breaking news on Radar Online. Clementine Ford, that's the daughter of Cybill Shepherd, publicly acknowledged that she is the gay.
She is of the gay?
Yes.
She's got a touch of the gay.
Okay.
Here's, I think,
it's just the 24-hour gay.
This could be the reason. She apparently was married to someone named Chad Todd Hunter.
Todd Hunter?
Maybe he was hunting for Todd, and that's why she...
That's, turned her gay.
Yeah, that's where she got
the
gay.
That's not a real name. She was married to Chad Todd Hunter?
Chad Todd Hunter. He changed it from Todd Chad Hunter.
And was rumored to be dating her L-word co-star, this is not a joke either, Kate Moaning.
Oh.
Are these made-up names in the story?
I don't know.
I think we've been punked.
Wait a minute. Was Cybill Shepherd was on the L-word?
Yes.
Was Clementine on the L-word?
Yes.
Was she really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I need to know everything there is to know about Chad Todd Hunter. I'm going to find out and report back to ya. 20 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack. The auto companies and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm starting to wonder if we've crossed a line here.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Documentary filmmaker Robert Greenwald coming up on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about his recent trip to Afghanistan and his new film.
He's also the director of Xanadu.
And you will not mention that.
Actually, Xanadu. You know, I think he appeared on the Xanadu DVD, so he takes credit for it.
All right, I will bring it up then. Okay, let's finish up our celebrity stack. Andre 3000 of Outkast is free.
Andre.
Andre. What did I say? Andre.
Andre?
Andre.
Oh.
Whatever. Of Outkast is free on bond after police charged him with driving 109 miles an hour in its suburban Atlanta. Hey, yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Wow. That's what he said when they caught him. Hey, yeah! Okay. Lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor. That's what he said.
Well,
okay.
You know, it's a Porsche. What do you expect?
What's the point of getting a Porsche if you're not going to drive 109 miles an hour? All right.
That's what they're built for. What?
Here's some fashion news from, what is this, you know, by the way, being the purveyors of the snark ourselves.
Yes.
We are aficionados of other purveyors of the snark.
Yes.
Like delisted.com and what else do we like?
The superficial.com. Mm-hmm.
And this one is?
Holymoly.com.
Yeah, holy moly.
They're a new one.
Yes. On Pamela Anderson's new fashion line. Ladies, looking for a demure and sophisticated outfit for Ascot? Maybe you've been invited to a royal garden party and you want to look effortlessly classy when the queen offers you a triangular sandwich with crust cut off. Fear no more, because Pam Anderson has announced she's to launch her own fashion range. So all your costume worries are over. Obviously, you'll be thrown out of both events for looking like a shoddy prostitute, but you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you've paid over the odds to look like a slut, and that's what really counts. Pamela takes the fashion business extremely seriously, and it's clear from her announcement that she's passionate about the project. She said, I really don't like to wear clothes. I'd rather go naked.
Ooh, hello.
Way to sell that range, Pam. Pamela obviously can't do it all by herself, as her brain is 99% air, with the rest made up of baby lotion, cotton wool, and some grains of sand still washing around from her Baywatch days. All right, holymoly.com. That's funny. Oh, golly. Guess what? Despite Sean Hannity's best efforts, U.S. voters don't blame Barack Obama for the economy. Oh, Sean. And he's trying so hard. U.S. President Barack Obama benefits from a broadly held perception that others bear the bulk of the responsibility for the state of the U.S. economy, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. 80% blame banks, financial institutions, and corporations. 70% also blamed consumers for taking on too much debt, and the former Bush administration for lax regulation. Good job, America. Good job. Only 26% said the Obama administration was not doing enough to turn the situation around. Two-thirds approve of Barack Obama's how he's handling the presidency. 60% approve of the way he's handling the economy. 64% say they're confident Obama's policies will improve the economy. 42% now say the country is heading in the right direction. That's a five-year high. Late last year, when George Bush was in his final months, as many as 9 in 10. That's like almost 90%, Jim.
Almost.
Said the country was heading in the wrong direction.
They're going the wrong way!
Yeah.
What? They're going the wrong way!
Yes.
It almost appears as if Obama were a popular, than as if he were elected by a majority or something.
In a landslide of some sort.
Weird.
Okay.
Republicans don't seem to think that's the case.
Huh. Oh, well. 28 minutes after the hour, back with documentary filmmaker Robert Greenwald. He outfoxed my personal favorite
film.
That
was a good movie.
Of Robert Greenwald's, but he has just gone to Afghanistan and is doing a new film about that. We will talk to him about that and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to think of an April Fool's Day joke if it takes me all week.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, an April Fool's joke in itself. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, we almost every day here on the Stephanie Miller Show do an edition of What the Fox? Because they often say things on Fox that make you go, what the Fox. Anyway, my favorite documentary, one of my all-time favorites, Outfoxed, Chris. Outfoxed, the documentary.
It's a very good documentary.
Anyway, if only there was someone that knows something. What? Who is it, Chris?
It's the founder of BraveNewFilms.org, Robert Greenwald.
What are the odds?
He's the guy from the thing. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Am I not supposed to bring up Xanadu? Because I also love Xanadu. Just have to say it.
It was the... If you study the movie very closely, you will see the deep political implications of Olivia Newton-John's leg warmers.
And everything's better on roller skates, frankly, isn't it?
All of life should be done that way.
If only we could put all of Congress on roller skates. It would be so much more fun. Now, you have turned your attention, sir. You're very considerate. Attention to Afghanistan. You just got back.
Yes, I was there for a trip. We've started a campaign with video called Rethink Afghanistan, and it's an effort. As we all know how hard it is to get out of a war once we've gotten in, so the effort is, and I really think the time is
particularly when,
now,
by the way, the previous administration has boned it up so badly, if you don't mind my...
Horribly, and I mean, just abysmally, and to go over there to see the extraordinary poverty right next to the incredible militarization, 3, 4, 5 men with rifles on every street next to people who can barely get enough to eat, and you know that the priorities are wrong. And it's also just not working. You know, the military solution, it's just a deep, deep political problem. It's a serious problem, but it's not a problem that's going to be solved with 60,000 Americans with guns over there.
Well, I know you said that recently. You said, I can say a policy involving a surge of 21,000 teachers, doctors, and sanitation workers would be far wiser than a policy of 21,000 more troops. Explain that.
Well, when I was in Afghanistan, and we're doing it in these videos, which we're rolling out at Rethink Afghanistan, by the way, the first one was on all kinds of people, Afghanistan and American experts, explaining why troops aren't the answer. Again, you have a country, third poorest country in the world, people literally dying of starvation. Yes, there are problems there, but it doesn't make sense to send in the incredible number of military who, by the way, are the single biggest reason, hold on to your hats, the single biggest reasons for the resurgence of the Taliban, as documented in the Carnegie study, are because of foreign troops.
Well, Robert, I know, you know, I have to admit, I this is once again a topic above my pay grade, as is almost everything, but, you know, I think we all know, you know, the timeline. 9/11 happened. We understand that, you know, Al-Qaeda was there. They were, you know, the Taliban was there. We obviously didn't get them. We didn't finish the job. We got distracted and went into Iraq. So, I mean, I have to confess, what are we doing there now exactly, and how long are we going to be there? I mean, I don't kind of understand what the strategy is.
Well, I think that's a really good question, and that's what we're saying. What we're saying with Rethink Afghanistan is basically, how many troops? How long? What's the cost? How do we know when it's time to get out? And what we're asking for is to have Senate hearings to raise all those questions that you're raising, because that we have not been given the answers.
Well, that's what it seems like, that this war on terror, whatever they called it previously, cannot be won, obviously, just through the military. It seems like, you know, when we're having victories in it, it's because of intelligence and cooperation from other countries. So what is your plan? What should we do in Afghanistan and Pakistan?
What we want to do is, Stephanie, we want to just exactly what you just said. We want to raise all those questions, and we want there to be hearings. I don't think we should be the ones coming up with a plan, but we should be the ones to say, hey, you know, as good old democracy, we got a problem here, folks. We've got a problem when all we're doing, you know, there's that great line, if all you have is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. Well, we've got some incredibly smart people in this administration. We've got to put on the political pressure to say we will not just fall to the military solution. Or as one of the interviews in Afghanistan said very sweetly and very nicely, sometimes you tend to shoot first and think later. And also, by the way, it's really, really important to understand that Taliban and Al-Qaeda are not the same thing.
Right.
Al-Qaeda are committed international terrorists. They have to be hunted down. They have to be found. They are criminals. Taliban is essentially a nationalist organization. Now, they're doing terrible things.
Well, it seems to me you can't fight it with the military for the simple reason that they're not all in one place. They're not a country or an army. They're all over the place, right?
Absolutely. And by the way, when I was there, one of the most amazing interviews I got with someone who's been a minister in the Taliban government, and he was negotiating with the Taliban now. So there's quite a bit of negotiating going on, and virtually everybody I spoke to over there, all walks of political life and economic life, they all were in favor of negotiating with the Taliban, because almost everybody has a relative or a cousin. Again, what we have to remember, a lot of the Taliban is based on tribal systems. So people in certain tribes were in the Taliban, and many of them are not ideological, and they're not committed to U.S. destruction. I'm not defending them. They've done horrible things, but we must understand that we are not going to war with the Taliban over their religious beliefs. That doesn't make any sense.
Why do you say that the U.S. military is the biggest cause for the resurgence of the Taliban?
Well, it's military foreign troops, not just U.S., by the way, because they're a nationalist organization. Now, what do nationalist organizations do? They say, hey, wait a minute, get these foreign troops out of here. The more foreign troops, the more reason to join and support the Taliban. And by the way, it wasn't me, although I heard this when I was over there. It was this Carnegie study that pointed that out.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well,
you have to give them a reason to organize, right? How do you support? If you're a nationalist organization fighting for your country, you fight for it because you say, here are the bad guys. Oh, look, all these troops are coming in. More troops are coming in.
Well, I mean, are we having any success? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, what is our mission in Afghanistan? We're obviously trying to find al-Qaeda, right?
Well, that's what's not clear, because everyone knows and says al-Qaeda's in Pakistan.
Right.
So that's where it gets...
Well, being in the wrong country, and I'm not a military expert, being in the wrong country would seem to be... much like we went into Iraq, that seemed...
Well, it's hard to fully understand. You know, if you study the speech of the president carefully and some of the advisors, they over and over again say, yes, al-Qaeda's in Pakistan, and yes, we're fighting al-Qaeda, but that tends to sometimes mix al-Qaeda and Taliban together, and then they talk about al-Qaeda supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are we going to go after al-Qaeda supporters all over the world? And then if we're going to do it, how do we do it? Again, you know, people will be all along the spectrum here, but I think for people who identify as progressives, for people who are looking at a larger worldview, this is the issue that can, in many ways, sink the dreams and hopes of many people for America, because the longer we're in this war, the more it costs. And the next video, and you can sign up, by the way, they're all free at Rethink Afghanistan. The next video.
RethinkAfghanistan.com, correct?
.com, yes. Mm-hmm. And the videos are there. They're free. You can send them around. You can sign the petition. You can even contribute to help us keep doing them. But the video we're working on now as we fundraise for it is about the costs of the war, how financially devastating this is.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, with this new administration, Robert, it's always a good time to just rethink old problems, and certainly the president's having to do that on a lot of these issues. I think you're right. We're so used to just this group of talking points from the Republicans for the last 8 years. You know, war on terror, war on terror, war on terror. We got to be, and I think you're right. It's not saying we know a definitive answer, but maybe it's time to rethink these things.
But yes, exactly right. And we do have.
If only someone would do a film called Rethink Afghanistan.
You know what? That's a good idea. and it's, you know, again, the timing is right now. I mean, it's not ideal. I'm not going to say having 60,000 troops over there. But the nightmare scenario, and we've all seen this, right, is that with 60,000 troops, Americans are going to be killed. It's going to happen. And at that point, the military, and I don't mean this in a conspiracy way, will do what it does, which will say, we need more troops. And then you're into the inevitable escalation where we have to protect the honor of the troops that are already over there. That's why we need to think hard about it now.
Right.
We need to put political pressure on now.
We need to keep, you know, what should be really, you know, our biggest promise to the troops, that we absolutely positively never send them in harm's way unless it's absolutely necessary. And so I think, you know, I think this is great, important work you're doing, Robert. And I don't mean to trivialize you in any way. I mean it as a tribute by making you sing with me before you go.
No, don't make him sing.
Come on.
No.
Robert Greenwald, documentary filmmaker. The website is RethinkAfghanistan.com. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yay.
I can't believe we have this in our system.
Everybody.
we go. Sing it, Olivia.
Loves me some Xanadu.
Never saw it.
43 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Stephanie Miller Show, where dreams go to die.
What?
Well, Jimmy Fallon's trying to reunite the cast of Saved by the Bell. So every dream we had yesterday died in an untimely death. Courtship of Eddie's father.
Two-thirds of the cast are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, if there was only one dream still alive. What? Who is it, Chris?
It's the star of Burn Notice on USA Network and the star of Cagney and Lacey, Sharon Glass.
Oh, my God! We're halfway home! We're halfway home! Good morning, Sharon Glass.
Hi, Stephanie. This is so cool. I love your show.
Oh, you have the best taste. And I understand your husband is nearly obsessed with the show.
Yes, he is with you. I think he would leave me for you. In fact, he's got the radio on indoors.
Really?
Right now.
He clearly has exquisite taste in both broads and broadcasting. Please thank him for me.
I will.
Now, Sharon, we are halfway there to a Cagney and Lacey reunion here on the Stephanie Miller Show. What are our chances of getting the Tyne Daly and you on at the same time?
You mean on your show?
Yes.
Pretty good as soon as Tyne gets back from Japan.
Oh.
Oh, she's in Japan.
She's in Japan. I know. I tried to call her this morning to see if she'd hook up with me, and apparently she's taking her grandchildren to Japan.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, tell her there's more important things cooking over here on the mainland. Now, as you know, I could actually just do the impression because I pestered you with it many times. Christine! See, I don't know why.
Stop it.
Just one episode sticks in my head. I don't remember. You were interrogating somebody, and I think he tried to get away, and Tyne Daly says, hang on, I got to get in character. Hey, who told you move? That's what, anyway, that was it. I don't know why. Harvey! Yeah.
Say, Mary Beth, calm down.
Yes, you were a bit of a hothead on the show.
Right. I had the bad attitude.
And the weird thing is I've met you, and you couldn't be more pleasant.
Thank you. I try to tell people.
You must be an excellent actress.
Thank you.
You must have won an Emmy or two, I'm guessing.
I did.
You know who we had in the studio the other day is Hal Sparks. From Queer as Folk. Your boy.
I know.
And you were also fabulous on that show.
Thank you. That was fun.
Tell us about what is Burn Notice on USA?
Burn Notice, if you and I got fired, we'd get a pink slip. A burn notice is what they get when they're fired from the CIA.
Oh.
And so it's about this young man this has happened to, and he has no home, no bank account, nothing, and he's dropped into Miami, which is the last place he wants to be because that's where his mother lives. Hi.
Here comes the brassy mother. Why, it's played by Sharon Glass.
It's very popular. I mean, it's the highest rated show of all cable networks.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Is that good? USA. Thursdays at 10. There you go.
That's great. Well, I as you know, I've been a huge fan forever. I believe that I've geeked out on you I think one or two times at least.
Thank you, Stephanie. You're the best.
Oh, now, do you guys? So, your husband is the big time producer, right?
Big time,
Barney.
Yeah, he created Cagney and Lacey. Yep. Barney and Rosenzweig.
That's right. So he clearly is he could have helped my acting career, but he chose not to. But I'm glad that he's making it up to me by listening to the radio show.
I mean, he is obsessed with your show.
He's a brilliant man.
He really does love you.
Now, are all y'all's political?
Are we political? Yes.
You are political, so
yes.
You're...
I mean, he's much more adept at it than I am, but I'm... go Obama. I'm there.
You were Obama for Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was for Hillary.
You were? Oh, okay.
I was, but it's all right. So, I had a little bumper sticker that said, oh, all right, Obama then.
Did you? Yeah. As it turned out, we weren't all that principled. We're like, whatever. Wow. So did you and your husband hate me for a brief period like some people did during the primary?
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
No,
okay.
No, my husband thinks every word you say is gold.
Oh, well, this guy needs to, how is the marriage? Solid?
Good.
Oh, yeah, oh good. Oh, well, that's good news.
He said, Now, Sharon, you don't have to tell her about your bumper sticker about Hillary.
That's all right.
I love it.
That's all right. I like Hillary. I met Hillary when she was out here for a fundraiser. She's delightful.
Yeah.
So what sort of issues do you guys talk about? I mean, you listen to the show for the fart jokes, or do you?
Yeah, I listen for the fart jokes.
Uh-huh.
Barney likes your political adeptness.
How are you feeling about the new Obama administration?
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. I mean, I know a lot of people are going after him, but they're mostly Republicans.
Yeah.
I think he's going to save us. I believe that.
Yeah. Well, I know that you've been, I mean, obviously, because you're identified, you know, with Queer as Folk, and you've gotten involved in a lot of political issues. What did you think of the whole Prop 8 thing out here? Did you talk about that at all?
I think it sucks. I'm living in Miami.
Oh,
we have the same thing you do out in California.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. Oh, I thought you were out here still. Okay.
No, I mean, I'm born and raised there. It's my hometown.
Right. Oh, okay.
But I live in Miami now, and we went through the same thing at the exact same time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got turned down.
Yep, I know. Well, you know what? It's I think it's just
I'm doing phoners and stuff for him here.
So. Oh, good. Well, I think it's, you know, it's just the first battle. It's a long war, and I think it'll happen. I think
I do too. I mean, very honestly, I really do believe that.
Yep, absolutely. Sharon Glass, is Barney there? Can you put him on the horn or?
God, let me go see where he is. Oh my God, he'd love it.
Barney.
I was outside under the palm trees. I'm sure you can hear it.
That would be actually funny if his name was Harvey.
Can you
That'd
pick
be funny.
Up the phone?
Hey, Hav! Hav! Harvey?
Stephanie wants to talk to you.
Yep, I know. Well, you know what?
I got to turn off the radio.
Yeah, turn off the radio.
Yeah, you need to. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Wait, I don't know how to do that. Let me get to another phone.
You know, you're just like any old other couple in Miami. That is so cute.
Get out, turn off the radio.
What now? So, why did you move to Miami?
Hello?
For burn notice.
I retired.
Oh, that's where it's shot. Barney Rosenzweig.
Zweig. It's okay. I say Miller's correctly. I don't know what that's about.
Good morning, sir. I understand you're a man of exquisite taste in broadcasting.
I am, and when it comes to women and radio shows, yes.
I said to Sharon that you could have helped my disastrous and short-lived acting career had you wanted to. But
I would have taken you off the radio, and I didn't want to do that.
Is that specifically? And also because I kind of sucked. But
did you read for Barney?
No, I don't think so.
Never.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, my God.
Yes, if I had, I'm sure he would have remembered it. How are you liking Miami, sir?
I love Miami. I mean, it's L.A. when I was a boy.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Wow.
It's truly laid back as opposed to LA, which is now the center of the universe, you know.
Right.
And very
right.
full of itself.
So I need to ask, Jimmy, this was all started by Jimmy Fallon is trying to reunite the cast of Saved by the Bell. And so I'm on a mission to do a reunion on the Stephanie Miller show. So we are working on a Cagney and Lacey. So as the creator of the show, do we have to get some sort of legal go ahead from you or what's the deal?
Oh, no, I'm very cool with the idea. But
you're down
with
it?
I think the problem is you'd have to convince Leslie Mundus, who doesn't like me and didn't like the show.
Oh, no.
Oh,
really?
Well, now we're getting into the good stuff.
Yeah.
Do tell. Why wouldn't he like a very successful creator of a television show on his network?
I think I was taller or something.
You were taller?
He considered it a fluke.
Oh, it was a fluke, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
How many of those fluky Emmys do you have sitting around the house, Sharon?
Well, we have four of them between the two of us.
Yeah. Between the two of y'alls. Well,
right. China has five all by herself.
Oh,
that's
wow.
All right.
Can I come and touch the Emmys next time I'm in Miami?
Please.
I would love that.
Please.
All right. I will see you again, and don't come without Tyne Daly or a bundt cake next time.
Oh, yeah. So sorry.
All right. Sharon Glass and Barney Rosenzweig.
Thanks for inviting me on.
Thanks, guys. There they go. The happy couple. Thank you, guys.
Yay.
Did it again.
Yay.
He called him Barney
Rosenzweig.
Rosenzweig.
Zweig.
Okay.
You've been calling him Rosenzweig for about 25 years now, haven't you?
Listen, like he cares. He's casting those residual checks.
Yes, he is.
For years and years. I'm going to touch the Emmys. All right. By the by, when we come back, the Obama budget, of course, facing resistance from Republicans, the Urban Dictionary has coined a new phrase.
Oh, really?
For the Republican budget. The one, you know, John Boehner's budget that has no... numbers.
Numbers, yes.
Numbers is the word I'm looking for. It is budgetish.
Oh, and it's made the Urban Dictionary?
Yes, it resembles a budget.
I like Keith Olbermann's version. Fudget. The fudget.
fudge it. All right. We'll be back with that and General Wesley Clark on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. May I just, if I do say so myself, a humdinger of a show today.
It certainly is.
If you missed the interviews with Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz about her battle with breast cancer and her new legislation, please check it out on stephaniemiller.com. She is awesome. After Sharon Glass, I'm halfway home to a Cagney and Lacey reunion on the Stephanie Miller Show. And filmmaker Robert Greenwald, who just returned from Afghanistan, who is also going to be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. You know, it was an interesting discussion about Afghanistan. If only I knew somebody else of some sort of expertise, perhaps as former Supreme NATO commander of all the Allied forces in Europe and stuff. Yes, Chris, who is it?
General Wesley Clark. Yeah.
Oh, well, there it is. You see how that happens? Good morning, General Clark.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm always missing you. That's how I am. It's so so good.
Music to my ears.
So good to have you back. You know, interesting we have you on this morning. We just had a Robert Greenwald, the documentary filmmaker, just got back from Afghanistan, and he has a film called Rethink Afghanistan. And interesting to have you guys on in the same show, because he is sort of questioning what the strategy is in Afghanistan and where we go from here. What is your take on all that?
I think, you know, if you made a film and you looked at the results in Afghanistan, you'd have to question the strategy, because the strategy has failed. And that's what Barack Obama and his team, including Bill Reid and Richard Holbrooke and General Jim Jones, are trying to fix right now. You have to decide how much it's possible to do and how to do it best. And our criticism of the Bush administration, mine for a long time, was they excessively relied on the military. I love the military. They're great, but you can't just win one of these conflicts by killing people. You've got to establish an economic hope inside Afghanistan, and you've got to deal diplomatically and politically with Pakistan to keep it from interfering.
General, let me ask you a pretty basic but dumb question, maybe. Our original mission in Afghanistan was to get the guys that did 9/11, right? And we still haven't done that. How do we do that now? I mean, where is Osama bin Laden and company?
Well, apparently he's still in Pakistan, up near the Afghan border.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do it is you cut off his support. You turn people against him inside his organizations, and eventually you locate him.
Right.
And it's a process. You may get lucky, but mostly it's a bottom up, outside inward process.
How, General?
Which he becomes progressively isolated, and then you nail him.
General, how do more troops, the surge of troops in Afghanistan, help that exactly?
Well, you can't be forced off the battlefield by defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And the Taliban are being paid, and they're out there, and they're intimidating villagers and so forth. Part of the outside-in strategy is that you have to take away the rings of support and sustenance that he has on the outside. And that means you've got to take the villagers and persuade them they don't really like the Taliban. Most of them don't.
Right.
And you drive the Taliban back, and a lot of them will defect. Maybe two-thirds will defect. And they were just there for the money. They never believed in it. And frankly, they don't like what the extremism of it that much, but
right.
you know, you have to get to that point.
General,
and at the same time, you have to work at Pakistan, and you will eventually isolate him and take mm-hmm. him in.
General, so General Clark, what is the end game then? I mean, I know that, you know, obviously, I think it's pretty much common wisdom that we took our eye off the ball in Afghanistan, went into Iraq, so now we need to. I mean, I don't even know. We're not starting over, I guess. But, I mean, now we're trying to finish the mission. I mean, will this ever be over? And if so, how and when do you think?
I think it will. I think, though, that you can't simply put troops in there and think you're winning by killing the Taliban. And I think our commanders understand that very well. I'm not sure whether the former incumbent of the White House understood it. But it's clear to the commanders that you can't. We've got to dissuade people from becoming Taliban. You've got to get the ones that are there to defect. And to do that, you've got to provide some measure of economic hope. I heard Richard Holbrooke on the radio yesterday from the donors strategy meeting there on Afghanistan in The Hague, and he was talking about one of my favorite themes, which is the need to create agriculture in Afghanistan. They were a food exporting country. Now they're not. It's all been destroyed. We've got to give them hope for their lives again. If we mm-hmm. do that, we'll get out of there. We'll get Osama bin Laden, and it won't take 10 years.
Right. What, General, talk to us about Iraq, about the president's plan in Iraq, and how you think that's going, and how the end game there.
Well, what's going on inside Iraq is there's some work being done by the leadership, the Iraqis themselves, to try to weed out people who may not support them. And the question is, what's the basis? It's okay to have legitimate political opposition. It's not okay to have people who will resort to violence when the Americans leave. So there's some consensus building that's going on. There's some elimination that's going on with arrests and so forth, and there's still a threat from the insurgents, from the Al-Qaeda in Iraq crowd with blowing up stuff. But basically, we are going to withdraw our troops there, and with the right emphasis, which this administration will have, I think that Iraq will hold together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's what a couple of military messes to be left, you know, to inherit from the last administration.
It's a real problem. It's a real problem. And, you know,
well, thank God the economy is in good shape and he has nothing else to do here on in the
in the
States. General, we always appreciate getting your point of view and your expertise on this. Thanks so much for taking time for us this morning.
Great to be with you, Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, sir. General
Yay!
Wesley Clark. Love him. Love him. All right. Oh, Faye in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the official radical militant librarian of the Stephanie Miller Show, has sent us some Tom Coburn fun facts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Earlier, I said I would get some information and bring it back to ya. He is the Republican nutcake from Oklahoma who mm-hmm. was pestering Kathleen Sebelius yesterday about, pro-choice, pro-life. Oh, would you like to hear it again? Sure.
As a pro-life obstetrician, mm-hmm. I feel I have a constitutional right to have those protections as I practice medicine.
Okay, here are some Tom Coburn fun facts. He has made some somewhat questionable claims. He once said that giant lesbians have invaded the schools in southwestern Oklahoma.
Giant ones?
Giant, wow. Apparently.
What about the petite ones?
He makes He makes no mention of
no?
that.
No? Okay.
On top of that, he favors, quote, the death penalty for abortionists and other people who take life.
Hmm. Well, also, that would make him one of the people who takes life, yeah. if you were advocating the death penalty.
Yes.
Hmm. That's quite the good point, Jim. Also, according to Coburn, the gay community, quote-unquote, has infiltrated the very centers of power in every area across this country, and they wield extreme power. That
extreme
agenda...
Extreme power?
Apparently.
Wow, wish I can get some extreme
Somebody
power.
Needs to let the gay community know.
Is it only the hefty lesbians that have the power?
The really gigantic ones that have yeah. extreme power.
Bill O'Reilly's going to cover this. Giant marauding lesbians in southern Oklahoma.
Marauding.
Not marauding. There's no such
marauding.
Word.
In southern Oklahoma.
Does that include Karen Hughes?
We have no information of any kind like that.
She's a handsome woman.
About the Sasquatch. Mm. Okay. He said that agenda, the gay agenda. Sexual agenda mm-hmm. is the greatest threat to our freedom that we face today. Why do Why do you think we see the rationalization for abortion and multiple sexual partners? That's a gay agenda.
What? Abortion is a gay agenda?
Wait a minute.
Apparently, a lot of people having the gay abortions again. You see what he's saying? You see his point?
Gays are having our show. Rampant abortions.
All right, I think he's been watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
He's kind of
extreme powers and giants and...
How does he have a PhD?
I stick by my earlier statement, and this is a medical diagnosis. He is 10 kinds of crazy. Okay, let's check
Did he get his PhD from Liberty University or something?
Boy. Let's check
They don't know how to spell PhD.
Oh, okay.
News we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Oh. Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
You know how to say a PhD in German? How? Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil, doctor of philosophy.
Really?
It's true, yes.
Wow.
Dr. Phil. It's an abbreviation.
Does everyone have their degree there in biology?
Yes.
Okay. Time Magazine. Headline, do we love our dogs more than people?
Computer 38.
Speaking for just myself, yes. Americans have fallen in love with their dogs. We have dog walkers, dog groomers, dog parks. You know, bark, bark. And dog-friendly hotels. We buy organic dog food, put our pets on puppy Prozac, and dress them up in costumes for Halloween. In the last 15 years, the amount of money spent on pets in the U.S. jumped from $17 billion to $43 billion. Ooh. Journalist Michael Schaefer talks to Time about his new book, One Nation Under Dog, and what he has discovered about our sudden need to treat our pets like children. Oh, it's all the rage.
Has this ever happened to you? You've had pets, adorable companions who filled your life with joy past all understanding, yet something was missing, and you couldn't put your finger on it. And then it hit you. There's only so close you can get, but without the experience of really, truly bringing your faithful four-legged son or daughter into the world, you're not really their parent. Well, never mind all that. Now, we here at Papil Research Facility have come up with the answer to your fulfillment, introducing the new Papil Implantable Puppies. That's right. Now you can be your own surrogate and give birth to your very own fur pet. Or, as we like to reframe them, utero canines. Since the average human uterus can accommodate 75 of the little tykes, the Popeil Implantable Puppy presents the perfect startup business. Simply surrogate for mass breeder facilities or other infertile puppy moms, and you can be turning a tidy profit with each and every litter. So don't deny yourself the ultimate in pet fulfillment. Popeil's Implantable Puppies. Don't delay. Pop one in today.
I want to implant a puppy. Yay.
You would totally give birth to a puppy if you could, wouldn't you?
I totally would.
Oh, God. You need help. Wow.
Not if I had get an implantable puppy. And finally...
In a related story.
Kind of. Oh, dear. And finally, the headline is, woman has sex with a pine cone, needs surgery to remove it. Yeah, one would think that might not end well.
Ow.
A Serbian woman, where apparently this is all the rage, is recovering from a painful operation after doctors removed from her area a large pine cone. Mirjana Gavrik of Belgrade underwent the two-hour operation after surgeons said it appeared the woman tried to have sex with the seed pod. Dr. Sava Blažbuk said the woman, whose age was not released, was lonely and unfortunately... But no one ever questioned her freshness again.
No! Smells like a Carolina pine forest.
It's a pine air freshener.
Or
a pine
Brooklyn taxi cab.
Stuck when she tried to remove it. We have the doctor, Evelyn. Yeah.
Dobar dan. I am Dr. Slobodan Milja Plulitanski Vonina Pravalovitska Slavlomania Plantovic.
That guy, always good.
You can call me Dan.
Oh, thanks.
I run successful hoo-ha clinic in Belgrade. Trust me, it's not worst case I've seen. Mrs. Gavrić, like so many Serbian women who lost husbands in war, was feeling lonely and put big pine cone in her vagine. Now, her labia are hanging down like sleeves of wizard, but she is otherwise fine. Another woman I treated put the whole 15-meter pine tree up her baby chimney. It took a month to get out all the sap. Now, when she comes for checkup, whole office smells like Christmas. We sing carols and pass out gingerbread cookies. Another patient tried getting frisky with the entire Bunyitskaya forest, which is 2 kilometers long and 300 meters wide. Ouch! And what kind of trees are in Bunyitskaya forest? Box elder! Box elder!
Yes-y.
I am kidding you not. And what is native bird? Great spotted woodpecker. He's no joke. I am thinking perhaps to prevent further hoo-ha mishaps, I will make house calls to lonely women and introduce my great spotted woodpecker to their Eastern European beaver.
Great.
Which is bigger than American beaver and has shorter, lighter underfur. In Belarus, beavers tend to be light chestnut rust, in Russia more blackish brown. Biggest beaver on record weighed almost 38 kilograms.
Oh!
Here's big beaver!
Nice beaver.
What? What is funny? It's science. Hey, doctor, trust me. Dovidenya.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Do I sense an edition of Serbia's funniest hoo-ha mishaps in our future, Tim? Oh, dear. You know, the woman that was trying to stuff the entire pine tree up her hoo-ha? You know what the doctor said to her?
My sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
I bet.
So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear.
Only one side?
I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here.
Okay, and finally, before we go, Rick and Canadian writes, Steph, other than the implantable puppies, which should come in commemorative Octomom 8-packs, that pine cone removal operation would be much more involved in the U.S., especially California. The doctor would have to go to the Bureau of Land Management, State Environmental Agency, and who knows what else for special permits to remove old-growth timber from a recreational area. I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. Rick! Hey, 21 minutes after the hour.
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. I sleep all night time. I work all day.
He's a lumberjack, but he's okay. All right,
what is the point of us? Nothing. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris, could you squeezy-proof the studio tomorrow?
Why?
Mary Lou Henner will be live in studio with us.
Hey, now.
I'm going to have to put down tarp like in Gallagher. He's a Gallagher concert. Jim Ward, he has a Mary Lou Henner fix.
Yeah, she's actually going to be appearing on the series finale of ER tomorrow
cool.
night.
Oh, cool.
So we got her in studio tomorrow.
Love her. Uh-huh. Tanakis in Los Angeles is on the phone for Jim. Jim, that's
yes.
for you.
Jim, I just wanted to say, okay, first of all, hello, Stephanie. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Long time no chat, blah, blah, blah. Chris, Jim, you are fantastic. I just found out that you are the voice of Charles Xavier on this new fantastic X-Men cartoon.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, brilliant work, my friend.
Thank you.
I'm telling all my friends where they can hear you in the morning. I can't believe you're the same guy. I mean, I've been listening to your voices for years now, and I just had no idea about your range.
I can't believe he's the same guy either. Every morning I'm startled when he shows up.
And I also had to say, because I was so floored by this revelation, I went and I looked you up on IMDb, and is it true? Did you actually write an episode of G.I. Joe?
No, I think that's somebody else.
Jim Ward?
Yeah. IMDb gets confused sometimes.
All right.
Yeah, I know. I have things on there that I've never, unless I was drunk, I don't remember.
Yeah, you were not in Happy Birthday to Me with Melissa Sue Anderson.
I was not, as far as I know.
No.
Unless Melissa Sue Anderson says otherwise.
Let's get her on the horn. Maybe we're going to have a Happy Birthday to Me reunion.
I read stuff on there. I'm like, am I just too old to remember? Or did I? I don't think I did that.
Were you in General Hospital? Because that's on your
I was in General Hospital. It was one of those wacky radio DJ promotional things.
Really?
Yes.
Bloody every morning. I'm on radio.
It was a contest thing. And you want to know my line?
Sure.
Here are the files, doctor. See?
Great.
Still remember. Performance of a lifetime. 28 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the budget, the auto companies, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ha ha! April Fools!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Urban Dictionary has a new word to describe the Republican budget that has no numbers in it. It is budgetish.
Ah.
That's oh, it's 19 pages. Good job. 19 pages the boner's budget is.
It seems like you need a few more pages than that to run the country.
Budgetish or of or resembling a budget lacks specificity such as numbers and or ideas. According to the...
It wouldn't even make a noise if you dropped it on the floor.
Yeah,
it the would, boner can't even throw
like
it down.
A pamphlet.
It would be like, bink. Yeah.
It'll sound just like this.
It's the one pamphlet he got at AA one time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying anything about
Stephanie
it.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Bourbon-soaked appearance.
Although the Republican budget had important words like solar panels circled.
Ooh.
I understand it has pretty graphics and things in it. It's much like Fox News. It has pretty graphics and no coherent ideas of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Boston Globe's editorial on the GOP's pretend budget. At least the graphic designers put some thought into the budget plan released by the U.S. House Republicans last week. The 19-page document features attractive topography, and it uses simple lines and circles to link concepts such as increases energy exploration with images of solar panels. The ideas end there. Despite its billing as an alternative to the President Obama's spending proposal, the plan, dubbed the Republican Road to Recovery. Fails at the basic function of a budget to spell out where the money should go. Whatever its merits, Obama's budget makes clear how quickly he intends to move on health care, renewable energy, and how he would pay for it. The House Republicans, of proposing any numbers, offer a vaporous collection of Sunday gab show talking points. The authors do call for cutting a variety of taxes and say no taxpayer should ever pay more than now. They would fill the resulting budget gap with cliches, enacting common sense reforms, quote-unquote, weeding out waste, fraud, and abuse, quote-unquote. The GOP answer to the economic crisis is to blame government meddling in the markets, as if Barney Frank made banks and invest trillions of dollars in foolish credit default swaps.
Yeah.
Republican leaders must have recognized the lameness of the document because they're promising more details this week. So far, they've offered nothing more than pretty graphics and wild rhetoric. Ooh, things are circled, so we know they're...
We have no plan, but we have more slogans. Huh?
Oh, dear. Sean Hannity on the economy.
Yeah, you know, by the way, and the government is offering emotional help and support with their new website, getting through these tough economic times. Mm-hmm. They only forgot that they caused.
What?
I mean, if we get to the bottom line here, why we're in this situation, they caused a lot of the economic problems. Their redistribution policies have.
Uh-huh. Oh.
What?
Yes, Barack, it's the Obama recession.
The redistribution policies. I see. Uh-huh. That's what caused the...
Oh, what? The end is near.
And in your America tonight, the end of capitalism appears to be upon us thanks to a relentless assault from the White House and congressional Democrats.
There are actually people who believe this crap.
Yeah.
They're just, it's on TV.
Wow.
Here's the problem. If we're going to look at the most inefficient, bloated, massive enterprise that doesn't work, it's government. So the question is, if government's going to take over all these companies, and they're going to have all the strings attached, and they're going to guarantee auto warranties, I'm saying America is no longer a capitalist society, the capitalist society that has created a standard of living and the advancement of the human condition that is the envy of the world.
The capitalist society is what caused this massive international crash.
Thank you.
Of lack of regulation.
By the by, I thought I read this wrong. A Republican may vote for the Obama budget?
Yes.
What?
I'm sure he'll be dying of a tragic accident sometime.
Representative kiln
accident.
Yeah.
Representative Joseph Cowell, Republican of Louisiana. He says he wants more information whether deciding whether to stick with his party or side with the president who carried his district overwhelmingly in November.
That may have something to do with it.
He may be the first Republican in recent memory to support a Democratic budget resolution. He's the guy who defeated the guy that had the money in the freezer, William Jefferson.
That wasn't that hard to do.
That can't have been a tough race.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Sean Hannity, great article on Media Matters, our good friends, our fine Americans at Media Matters, about Norm Coleman. Coleman's a sore loser. Why won't the press say so? Yes, when will we hear Sean Hannity say the
sore losers
uprising?
Let's assume that you're
in fantasy land.
Lashing out.
Crybabies and sore losers.
Grandstanding. Disgruntled. Temper tantrum.
Losers.
The sore loser act.
Theatrics.
Crybabies.
Al Gore actually won.
Yeah.
It was proven.
Can I have my fine American?
By any standard, Al Gore won in Florida.
Thank you. Exactly their point on Media Matters today. The fine Americans over there, right? Any day now. Oh, by the way.
What?
This just in case you hadn't heard, a 3-judge panel in Minnesota delivered a severe blow to Norm Coleman.
Yes.
Ha ha! The ongoing recount case there, the panel ruled that less than 400 absentee ballots should be opened and recounted. Coleman said there would be an appeal to the full Minnesota Supreme.
Less than 400 when Franken's winning by 225. Those odds are astronomical that Coleman won't.
I predict we'll hear it any day, the explosion of Bill O'Reilly's head.
I am proud to stand before you as the next senator from Minnesota.
Thing sucks!
Media Matter writes, any day now the three-judge panel will rule on Norm Coleman's lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. The complete hand recount, Al Franken winning by 225, blah, blah. Coleman demanded a full court case. Today, almost nobody, including Coleman's own attorney, thinks the Republican will prevail in the upcoming ruling, which he did not.
That's right.
What seems to be unique in this case is how much of the press coverage has politely refrained from suggesting that Coleman's sore loser for adopting this marathon litigation approach. Traditionally, candidates who lost and cried foul had a rather short window to prove their case before the media lost patience and started calling the candidate out as petulant and self-involved. Just ask Al Gore, who was hounded in the press by the specter of the sore loser label practically from the moment he withdrew his concession in the early hours following Election Day. I doubt a day went by during the Florida recount when there wasn't a sore loser reference to Gore in the press. In Texas, I found nearly 900 sore loser press mentions in Gore articles in just November and December of that year. For some reason, Coleman has been able to mostly avoid the dreaded sore loser label, one that can be a career killer for any politician. Instead, the press has largely given Coleman and his Republican supporters an open canvas on which to operate. The strange part is that Coleman's getting that press pass, even though some members of the Republican Party have been brazenly open in discussing the Minnesota case in terms of a blatant staff campaign specifically designed to thwart the Democrats from securing the critical 59th seat in the Senate. The battle in Washington is real. Every day in the Senate without Al Franken is a great day, said Tom Coburn. There he is again. The crazy Oklahoma senator. Earlier this month, Coleman's lawyers, after suffering a number of courtroom setbacks, wrote to a three-judge panel asking it to take the extraordinary step of setting aside the November vote and basically having the state 4 months after the fact re-vote. The ploy was a stunner and may have redefined election season's chutzpah. For the 3 days following Coleman's jaw-dropping request, the news received no coverage in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, or USA Today. Coleman's request was all the more amazing, considering there is no mechanism or precedent under Minnesota law to allow for such an event. The Hail Mary received zero network television news coverage and garnered just a passing reference on cable news on Hardball. If Coleman soon suffers yet another recount loss and appeals to the Minnesota Supreme Court, will the press finally dip its toe into the sore loser pool? What if Coleman loses at the Minnesota Supreme Court in April or May and then appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court, which could then tie up the Senate seat into next year? Will the press then suggest Coleman and Republicans are sore losers? Is there any point along Coleman's unprecedented litigious path at which the press will apply the same standard to a Republican that it applied to a Democrat? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Media Matters. Yeah,
supposedly liberal media.
Yeah, there's that liberal media at work again. All right, 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the auto companies, Obama's overseas trip, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow on the big show, Rita Cosby, who
you should do that impression.
Cannot mock as mercilessly anymore because I've met her now and she is delightful. I'm Rita Cosby! Okay. Yeah, she apparently had not heard the show or the impression, so that's why she's agreed to come on. So that'll be fun.
Does she still have her own radio show?
She couldn't be nicer. I can't leave the house anymore because I keep meeting people that I mock mercilessly on the radio.
Does she still have her own radio show?
I do not know. I will ask her. Okay. General Motors' new chief executive said Tuesday that more of the automaker's plants could close and bankruptcy is more probable as GM works to meet new tougher requirements for government aid. Fritz Henderson, you know, from Harry and the Hendersons, he was very... He said something that sounded really dirty yesterday.
Go deeper, go harder, and second, go faster.
Oh, yeah.
We got it. We understand exactly what that means.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the faster part. You might want to...
Yeah, exactly. I need a slow hand. He said he expects...
You need an easy touch?
Exactly. He said he expects the company, boy, we are getting down to seeds and stems and we're quoting Pointer Sisters songs. He said he expects the company would need to take further measures beyond the five plants the company said it would shutter when it submitted a restructuring plan to the government last month. He said GM would prefer not to use bankruptcy to protect itself, but it is certainly more probable than in the past.
We will get the job done, okay? We will either do it out of court or we will do it in court, but we will get the job done in terms of recreating and reinventing General Motors as a competitive enterprise.
And he went on to say what the government wants from GM.
They want us to have a clean balance sheet, a healthy balance sheet, the exact metrics of which are not yet determined, but we know they obviously need to be deeper than what was contained in our loan agreement. And so we got it. We understand it. Now we got to accomplish it.
Boy, oh boy, not only will the president eat a bug if you buy a car, but Ford and General Motors, if you heard about this, are offering payment protection plans to help reassure consumers who may be putting off getting a car because of worries about losing their job. Ford said it will cover payments of up to $700 each month for up to a year on any new Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury if consumers lose their jobs. Hours later, GM said it will make a similar offer.
Wow.
And Hyundai launched a program that allows buyers to return a vehicle within a year if they can't make payments due to a job loss.
Yay.
Maybe many people may just want to give it back because it's a Hyundai. Cause they don't, you
know. Stop it. No, actually.
Oh, well, there goes. They've gotten much better.
They've gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good for them.
There's a Hyundai that parks in my parking lot in my apartment complex.
Oh, that's
by
really
itself?
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. That
it's, I think it's a Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Got very high ratings.
Uh-huh.
Senator Judd Gregg about the
Maybe he'll be a sponsor now.
No. Well, you may have repaired the damage. I don't know. It was just an unfortunate joke.
Yeah, from about 10 years ago when they were crappy.
Senator Judd Gregg, Republican of New Hampshire, on the government plan to offer to cover the warranties on cars.
We're going to insure the warranties on the cars. Is that really the business of the government? Is that really the purpose of the government? I mean, does that mean we put a new telephone line in my office in Concord for people who have problems with their transmissions?
Yeah.
They're supposed to call me?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Judd Gregg doesn't strike me as a smart man.
Yeah, boy. All right. Speaking of which, hey, it's time for the boner.
I think the idea of the government telling anyone in the private sector who they'll employ and who they won't is deplorable. This is what's wrong when government starts putting money in the private sector, they start to believe that they can write all the rules.
Oh, no. Is he standing up for Rick Wagner, who had to leave with an only $20 million or so golden parachute? Okay. Ron Christie, he's the Republican pundit that has a big vision for America.
And he is also cross-eyed.
Okay, Ron Christie on this.
I think one of the things now we're going to see with whether or not the public is going to look and say that this is the Obama economy, I think there are two key steps here. One, the stimulus bill. People are going to look and say, is this really making a key difference to turn the economy around? And second, I think there are a lot of people who are very worried about what happened yesterday with GM removing the CEO from the President of the United States. Was that constitutional? If the auto industry doesn't turn around and if the stimulus package does not create new jobs, people are going to say, this is the Obama economy and it's his fault and his numbers are going to go down.
You hope.
Well, you hope, I guess.
Yeah. Everything's going to be a disaster and it'll be great.
Won't that be great? Okay. Well, by the way, on the heels of the resignation of the General Motors CEO, the Service Employees International Union is urging President Obama to oust the Bank of America CEO, Ken Lewis. Mm-hmm. It defies logic, common sense, and responsible governance to punish the auto industry while letting financial institutions off the hook.
Yep.
Yes, sirree.
Agree with that.
Yes, sirree, bobtail. I say we have a you're fired fest.
You're fired.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear show.
GM will live. It is now owned by Obama. When you watch the new CEO Henderson there, he knows who his boss is. It's not the shareholders. It's not the board, new or old. It's Obama. I mean, when you think of this constitutionally, it is really odd, bizarre for the president of the United States to stand up there and to tell you that he is going to guarantee your muffler.
Mm.
I mean, this is a real stretch. But we are so far down the road of government control that there's no, particularly with autos, it's not going to be reversed.
As the president said, we don't want to run GM.
No.
Did he want to inherit all of this mess. This is all they have right now, is just mocking. Oh, there's a guarantee of money. The president wants guarantee your mother.
He got a solution.
They're going to call him, the transmission. They know exactly what it actually is a very good idea, because what, as we've said, nothing is going to help the auto industry if people don't start buying these cars.
That's right.
And people are not buying cars because they think the companies are going bankrupt and they're not going to be able to have a warranty or get parts or stuff. So that's what that's about. Because it's a good plan to try and...
Oh, well, it's going to guarantee a warranty so people will buy cars and restore the... Oh,
that's the next scariest thing to hear ever since I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah, they love that one. Don't you love them with those old moldy Reagan lines?
Yeah. All of this is the direct result of Reaganomics. It's trickled down to this.
Trying to undo it.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. The president, of course, is overseas. He was with the British Prime Minister yesterday, Barack Obama.
All of us here in London have the responsibility to act with a sense of urgency, and every nation that will be participating has been affected by a crisis that has cost us so much in terms of jobs, savings, and the economic security of our citizens. So make no mistake, we are facing the most severe economic crisis since World War II. And the global economy is now so fundamentally interconnected that we can only meet this challenge together. We can't create jobs at home if we're not doing our part to support strong and stable markets around the world.
It sounded like you had a bit of a cold this morning.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Mm. Yes, it did. There was a poll out recently about how proud Americans are to be represented overseas or anywhere by, yes. Barack and Michelle Obama. I just thought, first of all, the bar is kind of low. As long as he doesn't throw up on anybody or chew with his mouth open or touch a female head of state inappropriately, then we're like, woof, okay. The president again.
We've taken unprecedented action to create jobs and restore the flow of credit. And we've proposed a clear set of tough, new 21st century rules of the road for all of our financial institutions. We are lifting ourselves out of this crisis and putting an end to the abuses that got us here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm putting an end to the crisis. Mr. Smarty Pants thinking...
That's pretty much the
And then he said something entirely fruity and socialist, like, I don't know, about listening to other people.
I know that the G20 nations are appropriately pursuing their own approaches. And as Gordon indicated, we're not going to agree on every point. I came here to put forward our ideas, but I also came here to listen, not to lecture.
Listen?
Having said that, we must not miss an opportunity to lead, to confront a crisis that knows no borders. We have a responsibility to coordinate our actions and to focus on common ground, not on our occasional differences. Hmm. If we do, I believe we can make enormous progress.
Mm-hmm. Americans don't listen. We bully other people around. That's not the... What? Listen?
We talk, you listen. I think that'll be the theme on What the Fox Tonight is listening.
Listening's so gay.
Listening's gay, exactly. Here's Bill O'Reilly with a version of that.
The president is not off to a good start with his opinion that the phrase, the war on terror, should be kicked to the curb. Mm. Apparently, members of the Obama administration believe some nations find the war on terror description to be offensive in some way. Why? Mm. The world should be fighting terrorists in a coordinated way. Yeah. That's a war. Is it not?
No.
Why are we playing these games? Who exactly is offended?
Everybody, okay. Except for you, because we didn't do it coordinated.
Terror is
coordinated.
A tactic.
Yeah.
You cannot have a war on...
That's the problem. Coordinating in the George Bush administration meant we tell you how to do it, and then you do it our way. That's coordinated. Jonah Goldberg on the Hannity Show.
If you just go by the standards that Obama raised in his own campaign, he's an abysmal failure. He can't get the Europeans, who are supposed to love him, to agree to anything. He has already, thrown off all of the major ambitious agenda items that he wanted out of this summit before he even got there.
Such as?
He didn't go on to say. Not only is he already an abysmal failure as president, but also...
Well, he's been in for 2.5 months. He hasn't fixed everything yet.
He has failed at the
failure.
At the G8 summit, which just started.
Well, the summit hasn't even started yet.
Oh, well. He has pre-failed.
Yes, the summit starts today.
It's like, when you get pre-approved for a loan. He has pre-failed.
Pre-failed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't fixed all the problems yet and hasn't started.
Yeah, by the way, are you getting all those emails from my Republican brother about why all of Obama's plans will fail? And it's, you know, I don't know where he gets his information from, but the reason that every plan of his so far will fail.
Yeah, an old college friend of mine sent me an email resembling that. Yes.
Mm. Great. Is it morally wrong to spam block your brother? Okay, then. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.